Our second reading comes from the 13th chapter of John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, he had put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. During my first year in seminary, my class schedule was full of introductory classes, theology, church history, language classes, all of the introductory classes, and they were all held in a great big lecture hall that seated maybe 100 to 150 students. And it was in the first day of my church history 101 class that we were all gathered together, and the professor, who none of us knew, or at least most of us didn't know her, came up to the podium, and she was a relatively small woman, probably in her early 60s, but she seemed to have a lightness about her, a little bit of a spunk to her, but she kind of dove right into the lecture. She introduced the subject matter of the course, the syllabus, and all of that, and she went on and gave a fine lecture that I remember absolutely nothing of, and when she came to the end, as she was talking, she stepped away from the podium, and she walked down to the floor of the lecture hall right in front of the front row of students, and she had a wireless microphone on, so she was able to continue talking. And then she paused, and she was sort of off to the side. And before any of us really knew what was happening, she did a cartwheel right in the middle of the class, right in front of everyone, out of the blue, without any kind of a warning. Now, she had what looked like a long skirt. And so many of us were momentarily panicking. It turned out it was sort of a pant skirt type thing. And we didn't know that till her feet were all the way up in the air as she twirled in front of us. We didn't know her. We didn't know what to think. And I think most of us, at least I, was frankly a little bit embarrassed for her to watch a seminary professor. This is Princeton Seminary, and a professor doing a cartwheel in front of her class. It was disgraceful. It was undignified. Have you ever seen someone who is in a position of authority over you do something undignified? It's very uncomfortable. At least if you have a positive opinion about that person, it embarrasses you to watch. It's hard to see. It's really hard to look at. And it turns out that L.C. McKee is a bright, joyful woman who clearly does not take herself too seriously. And I never met a student at Princeton Seminary who didn't love her as a teacher and as a person. None of us knew that at the beginning of the class. We were all astonished. There's a show that has been running for about 5 years now on CBS called Undercover Boss. And the premise of this show is that they take, it's a reality show like almost everything else on TV nowadays, and they take the CEO of a large corporation and they disguise that person as an entry-level employee in the organization. And they take the CEO, the boss, and they make him or her go undercover and to work with the other entry-level employees, whether it's an assembly line or a restaurant or a garbage collection company. They go and they experience life from the eyes of your low on the totem pole employees. And it, inevitably, the show ends with tears and emotional congratulations to employees who are doing really good work and not being recognized for it. But there's something about that show that is so compelling because it is so strange to see a CEO, an executive who's making millions of dollars for running this massive company to step into the shoes of your everyday worker, to step into the shoes of a lowly employee who's making an hourly wage just trying to get by. There's something very compelling about that story because it's so foreign to what we see in the world around us. It's so foreign. And so the story that we read this evening from John's Gospel is a story like that. A story of Jesus doing something that is completely undignified. Something that is not befitting of a Messiah, of a Lord. So John sets the scene for us in telling this story. It's the day before Passover. Passover is the highest festival season in the entire year. And so people from all over the Jewish world have descended upon Jerusalem. And so everything that happens during this time, by default, is weighted with religious significance. Everything is meaningful. But in particular for Jesus and his disciples as they gather together, this is almost the end. John tells us that Jesus' hour was almost here. The time had almost come that Jesus had been talking about, that Jesus had been anticipating and looking forward to in the sense of knowing that it was coming. And since he knew it was coming, he gathered his closest friends together to share a meal. He had his 12 closest disciples surrounding him, including Judas, the one who would betray him. And there they were eating together one last time. And so at that meal, Jesus breaks decorum in a big way. Now, the washing of feet at this time and in this place was a very common custom. In fact, if you can imagine walking dusty streets in sandals most of the time, your feet would get filthy the moment you leave your home. And so it was a normal part of hospitality to offer guests the opportunity to wash their feet. And typically it was the guests themselves who would do it. The guests would enter a home and wash their own feet. But if the host was wealthy enough, they would have a servant who would do that for the guests as they came in. But Jesus does something quite different. John gives us a play-by-play of this scene. And I think the way that John narrates the scene makes it even more uncomfortable for us as readers as we try to imagine what it would be like to be the disciples in this situation, because John leaves nothing to the imagination. He gives you a step-by-step picture of what Jesus does. John tells us that Jesus gets up from the table, takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around himself, pours a basin of water, washes his disciples' feet, wipes them with the towel that he had tied around his waist, puts his robe back on, and returns to the table. He leaves nothing out. A very detailed description of what's happening, like it's in slow motion. Imagine how the disciples felt when Jesus rose, because Jesus did this in the middle of dinner. He interrupted the meal to do this. So immediately as he stands up, the disciples are wondering what's going on. And then as Jesus removes his outer robe, everyone starts to get a little bit uncomfortable. And then when he pours that basin of water, they begin to sense what he is up to. Now, in our society, as in so many others, authority is as much a matter of perception as it is of reality. The more powerful a person is, the more visible a person is, the more carefully they have to guard their image. And of course, the more spectacular are their falls when the truth comes out and we learn that they're humans just like we are. When someone in a position of authority does something that's undignified, they risk a loss of respect. They risk compromising their authority. That seminary professor risked us all thinking her a fool. And in fact, we all did think her a fool. But the fact of the matter is that didn't matter to Elsie McKee. And that doesn't matter to Jesus. Jesus is not concerned about whether his disciples think he has authority. He's not concerned about whether he loses respect in their eyes. His only priority here is to show them that their understanding of authority is upside down. Their understanding of leadership is backwards. And so Jesus demonstrates to them in a very living, active, tangible way the nature of the kind of leadership that he has shown, the nature of the kind of love that he is trying to show them. But he doesn't just end with a demonstration. It's not as simple as acting it out and hoping they get the point. Jesus makes it explicit. He follows it up with a command. He says this, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and so I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, what I wonder as I hear those words, as I hear that command, I wonder how exactly is this a new command to love one another? It's very simple. It's very basic. It can't possibly be new. Even the so-called golden rule, the command to love our neighbor as ourselves, does not originate with Jesus. It goes much further back to Leviticus. It comes out of other traditions as well. It's not original to the New Testament. So how exactly is this a new thing for Jesus to say, love one another? What makes it new is what follows it. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. When Jesus kneels to wash his disciples' feet, there's something else going on in the midst of that. It's not just an act of washing their feet. It's not just a physical demonstration for those thick-headed disciples to try to understand, to try to get them to understand what Jesus has been talking about all along. It represents in a small story the big picture of what God is doing in Jesus. We call it the incarnation. Jesus takes off his robe in the same way that Jesus has taken off, has stripped himself of his divine nature, has stripped himself of the power of God to enter into human existence. And so when he kneels at his disciples' feet, he is kneeling into the filth of human experience and human existence. We see in the washing of feet a metaphor, a picture of the way that God has entered into our existence, the way that God has entered into our human experience, willing to suffer and die. We see all of this happening in the washing of feet, and that is how Jesus has loved us. That is how God has loved us in Jesus, to enter in, to kneel down at our feet, to serve and to wash the filth from our feet. And Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you ought to love one another. Love each other with this same kind of love that I have shown you, with this kind of love that is not afraid to kneel and to touch the filthy feet of the world. There's a Catholic parish in Baltimore that some time ago was celebrating a service on Maundy Thursday. And it's in the Catholic tradition, it's very common for there to be an actual washing of feet as a part of the celebration of Maundy Thursday. This was a large parish, so there were a lot of people gathered, and so it wasn't realistic to do a washing of feet for the entire congregation. But the priest of that parish decided to do something unique. And what he did, this being Baltimore, a very racially diverse city, he invited some older black gentlemen who had spent their entire lives shining shoes in the Baltimore airport. He invited them to the front of the sanctuary. And he seated them in the front, and one by one, he knelt down and he shined their shoes. He reenacted the washing of feet that Jesus did for his disciples. He reenacted in a very poetic and symbolic way the kind of love that Jesus has called us to enact in our own lives, the kind of love that Jesus has called us to imitate, a kind of love that is not afraid to kneel at another's feet. Now, as we seek to reenact that love in our own lives, it doesn't have to involve feet, but it does have to involve placing ourselves at the feet of others. And so we are about to gather around this table to celebrate the meal that Jesus was enjoying and sharing with his disciples so long ago, and we gather around this table to remember the love that Jesus showed us, to remember the significance of that night and the day that would follow. And we gather around this table to be equipped and to be strengthened so that as we leave this place, as we are sent from this place with God's blessing, that we might be empowered to love others in that same way, to kneel at the feet of others, to not be afraid to get our hands a little dirty, to love others as God has loved us. Let us pray. God, we thank you that in Christ you are not afraid to kneel at our feet. We might recoil at the idea of our Lord and Master bending and touching our dirty feet. But we thank you that you have shown us in him the kind of love and service that we have all been called to. And we pray that we might have the strength and courage to do the same for others. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.